The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And it's that time of the early morning that we look at affairs of global relations. We look at continental affairs, regional affairs, and also what is happening at home. It's the 26th of February, 2026. And February is coming to an end. We are concluding February. And as we are always indicating to say, days are moving fast. And it's what you make the best out of those days that you have. And treat every day like it's your best day. And work like you do not have extra time. Because that is what define you know, who you are. And always making sure that there is no a better day than today. There is no better day than today. And what you have been prepared for is today. And so it's very important to make sure that you make the best out of the moment. And also to be positive. It's always good to be positive because you know, if your thinking is not positive, if you are controlled by negative views, there are people that have just negative opinion. You must be able to move away from those people who have negative opinion about issues. Have you ever told somebody the plan that you want to do, but you end up being discouraged because of that negative view? Because sometimes negative views, or in most cases, negative views, they become so contagious. Then you become so stuck. That's why this morning you are indicating to say, be positive and look ahead.
There's no price like the ShopRite price. We commit to bring you lower prices on all the essentials you need, like 9 baby soft fresh white 2-ply toilet rolls for only 82 Namibian dollars 99 per pack, and 100 mils Colgate toothpaste triple action or 75 mils active salt for just 17 Namibian dollars 99 each. Never pay more than the ShopRite price. Valid until 8 March 2026. Only at ShopRite. Catch ready, steady, cook on One Africa. Proudly brought to you by ShopRite Namibia.
Yeah, and also for the hustlers, the economic movers, those who are holding the local economy, and the policy makers, the leaders from all sectors, we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, and we'll be with you until the hour of 8, and this is a platform that we open up for discussions of what is happening within the continent, what's happening outside the continent, what are we doing, where have we moved as a country, have we achieved anything, have we lacked in some parts, and also where are we saying that we are doing very well. And there's always an aspect of thinking and also you know, appreciating particularly those institutions that have done well, and also those institutions that you know, contributed positively to the development of the country. And we are expecting a budget today. And we also need to make sure that we think that the Shivute Namra, they've been doing a great job. It's one of the institutions which is effective in terms of revenue collections. And compared to none before, if you look into that. And they've been doing quite very well. And we are also thinking the stabilize institutions such as Midco, and also those which are in line, and also making sure that moving forward, we need consistency, we need, you know, the result or the better performance also to be reflecting on the people on the ground. So before we look at the conversation for today, especially when we are going to dive into the informal sector, and we are also going to dive into policy inconsistency, policy incoherence, and also to look at the when are we going to find a way to address what we have said is a problem, what we are still going through, even if we have identified that 4 years ago, that we still have policy incoherence, we still have institutional misarrangement, if there is a word like that, and also what can we do moving forward, because inconsistency, incoherence bring us danger, because you may be in the same institution but you are not speaking the same language, and the message that you are bringing out there is not consistent. And also to look at individuals, to say if you are directing a certain policy, if you are directing certain institutions, and you have identified what is lacking, why is so difficult to address that even at the moment that you have identified? What is the progress in terms of that? Because if you look at the structure of our economy, if you look at the way we are operating, you end up realizing that in most cases, most of the things we spoke about them 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we just end to that. And it's quite really disencouraging and require effort so that we can move, because we are like somebody who has everything but not well arranged. You have opportunity, you have potential, you have resources, but because of that unsmooth system, then we are still moving in a circle. Because everything we have them, we just need to arrange them, we just need to make sure that we are coherent, and we have smooth processes, systems, and institutions, so that we'll be able to reach where we want to get into, particularly when you are in the bus toward Agenda 2030, where Namibia are going to be a prosperous country, industrialized, and also advanced, and also continentally competitive, and also all the beautiful things that we have dreamed about, because that is our goal. And if we don't hit the target, that should also not discourage us, because we have a long way to go. Because Namibia is not only ending in 2030, we have a long way to go. And through that long game, then we'll be able to achieve what we want to achieve. So let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world. It's quite important to look at first what is happening in the world. And there is a lot of interesting thing happening around, particularly in terms of economy and also diplomacy. Looking at Iran and the United States of America, it was stated that Iran warned the U.S. to choose table of diplomacy or face firm blow. Those are some of the communication, and we understand for the past 2 weeks, Iran and the United States of America have been negotiating, especially when it comes to adding Iran nuclear program. And it's not only about the diplomatic, there was also an aspect of psychological warfare and also war on deterrence, where you have one of the strongest warship in Middle East, one of the US strongest warships in the Middle East. And number one is called Abraham Lincoln, and they have also sent Gerald Ford. And throughout American history, you'll be able to understand that those war machine, or those military equipment, are named after former U.S. presidents, and they are in the Middle East. And at the same time, last week, Russia was contacting, and Iran was contacting an exercise, particularly in the area of Hormuz Route, or the Strait of Hormuz. And a lot have different prediction about what will happen moving forward, because this is the center of global oil trade. And if there is no better outcome reached, it's not only going to be a war between the US and Iran, but it's going to be catastrophic, and it's also going to affect the price of oil, and also going to affect the allies in the region. And looking into this, the question that you are asking is to say, as Namibians, we must also pray that does not happen, because if there is a disruption in the oil trade, Namibia is the one that is also going to suffer more, because where we are now, we have a lot of challenges, and we cannot afford to add more burden to the problems that we are dealing with, because if we are not even able to feed ourselves at home, what will happen if the logistic of oil is disrupted? That is why it's quite crucial to look into that. And the warnings came as America has assembled its biggest deployment of aircraft and warship to the Middle East in decades. The world's largest aircraft carrier, USS Gerald Ford, remained docked on Wednesday at the U.S. naval base. And it's quite something to look into. But let's hope diplomacy will be a solution. Let's hope diplomacy will be a solution. And also looking at the speech of Trump at inauguration of the Board of Peace, you will realize to say that Trump is not really a guy who also like war, but he also find the way. But because what one thing that he stated, if you read between the lines, is that they have tried to stop war, 10 wars, in a very short period of time. And he was hoping that another one will be stopped soon, or if not, something will happen. But let's see what will happen. To say, is Iran going to withstand the pressure of the USA? And is the USA also going to withstand the retaliation of Iran? Because the Supreme Leader last week indicated that people should not be intimidated by the princes of the war aircrafts and war machines. He stated what is more dangerous is the weapons that are putting those things under the sea. But, that level of retaliation, you end up realizing that they may look strong, but life is not a movie. And either way, war, when wars start, no one is a winner, because they are saying there's no winner or losers in war. Because number one, you destroy trade relations. Number two, you bring hostility. Number three, you disrupt the trade. Number four, people lost lives. Men, women, and children. They will be traumatized for a very long time. And hatred too. And all other chaotic things that will happen. And there is a long-term impact of war. There is a long-term impact of war. And the scares of war, they live for a very long time. That's why it's quite difficult to look into that aspect. So, that is what is happening in that side of Iran. And moving forward, it was stated that South Africa debts stabilized for the first time in 17 years. And, as we have been indicating, that regardless of the challenges in South Africa, under the presidency of Ramaphosa, there have been also a lot of stabilization. There have been also a lot of positive news coming out of there in South Africa over the past, 2 years or so. Especially, you look at energy, look at their policies, look at their economic stabilization, and their economy was tested for the first time, especially with tariffs. But it's like nothing have happened. But it's also indicated that South Africa debt stabilized for the first time in 17 years. And maybe one would also ask a question to say, are these the results of a coalition government, or it has been the result of the longest prince of ANC, or maybe the result of some of the reforms that started during the administration of either his Thabo Mbeki or Jacob Zuma? Because looking at how things are happening in South Africa, it's quite interesting. Because it was stated that South Africa death burden is stabilizing for the first time in nearly 2 decades. Finance Minister Eno Godogwan has announced that was yesterday. And Africa's most developed economy show cautious sign of recovery and pledge increase in spending on security. So for the first time in 17 years, deaths will stabilize and will continue to fall in coming years. So that is Enoch Godogwan. And one of the things that one will be able to praise Cyril Ramaphosa is not only that he surrounds himself with brilliant guys, because if you look at minerals, if you look at Minister of Electricity, if you look at the Minister of Finance, you look at international relations, you start realizing to say it's a good pick, it's one of the best pick compared to other administration, and they are delivering on their jobs, and it does not mean that South Africa does not have problems. So it was stated that the debts which hits around high near 80% of GDP is expected to ease to 77.3 in 2026-2027 and decline further to 76.5 in the following year. And there is a credibility of this credibility that is recorded, and stated that South Africa secured its first major credit upgrade over 16 years in November after S&P Global lifted the country sovereign assessment. And this is quite a very important development. Even when you look at those numbers of 76.5% by next year, or this to GDP of South Africa, and you look at South African economy, you realize that to say there's a lot which has been done. And also looking at regardless of credit rating systems which have been doubted by Africans, if they have to rate you like this, even if they do not want to use most of the data they get at home, realize that you are doing something.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes past the hour of 6. And, you know, where South Africa is, it's like if you are rated at this point by S&P, if you are rated by S&P at this point and show some improvement, you must be able to realize that it's like you are marked by, there's always that teacher who does not give you marks no matter how hard you worked. And there was a certain professor at, you know, during her time at university. That guy, the best performing person in class will be able to get maybe 60% or maybe 55. Then all of you go below that. And the good thing about him, you don't pass and you don't fail, but he does not give you marks. He makes sure that you deserve them. But if you get 55% from that guy, know that you have learned something. Know that you have learned something. And South Africa getting this rating by S&P Global, you must be able to understand that, you know, it shows that they have worked really hard to get them. Even it's like you get 50% from that teacher who does not give people marks. You realize really to say, you have worked very hard. Imagine if you were assessed by that Iranian one, you would be somewhere. It is quite a very good development. So, security spending, the government planned to spend 2.67 trillion rands in 2026-2027 with peace and security funding increasing to 291.2 billion rands by 2028. And And this funding, it stated that it's deployed alongside police in crime hotspots as authority confront persistent high violent crime. And there's an average about 60 killings per day. And you know, Godogwana projected 1.6% growth in 2026. And you know, those are positive development coming from South Africa. And they've understood their problems to say security is a priority. That's why they spend 2.67 trillion rands in security and also peace funding. And this can also be able to tell you that the African economy is big, because there are trillions, while we are at billions, particularly looking at our budget. And you must be able to understand that it's still one of the most, it's the best performing economy not best performing, but it's more advanced in Africa. But looking at their crime rate, the other time it was 50. You know, Godongwana is saying 60 people dying every day in South Africa. They are not dying of sickness, they are being killed. 60 people every day. Use your calculator and count that. And you can also look at the ratio in terms of the numbers of people that are in South Africa. That is why they have understood their problem of crime. And that is what they are doing. And then, you know, Godongwana must get his flour. And also those who are with the Minister of Finance. And to look into that, South Africa has been with best ministers of finance. And we should also praise ourselves, particularly looking at what will happen today when our Minister of Finance will be able to present the budget. And we are expecting a lot. We are expecting a lot from Meme Erica Shafuda and her team. Especially today, when she will be able to present that budget. And it's a very important time. It's a very, very important time, particularly when we are in the time of need. And also to see how is the economy of Namibia going to be directed, where are we going to get the funds, and also who is going to also benefit from this. And for the business people, the entrepreneurs across the sector, look at where the money is going. Because it's always very important. My colleague, Irene, always likes saying, you must be able to understand and follow the money. Because it's a very important aspect to understand when you are planning that where the money is and where it's going. And yeah, again, looking ahead, it was stated that Zimbabwe walk away from $367 million US health deal over sovereign concern. Zimbabwe has pulled out of the talk with United States of America on a new health deal that meant to replace program dismantled under President Donald Trump. The agreement would have provided $367 million over 5 years, supporting 1.2 million Zimbabweans receiving HIV treatment. And the officials from Zimbabwe have stated that negotiations were halted or were stopped because the terms threatened national autonomy, which concerned PEC could shift control of disease response and the grant Washington a broader access to health data. The U.S. has been pursuing similar agreement across Africa under its American First strategy, partially to counter China influence. And that deal was signed in Kenya, in Rwanda, in Uganda, Lesotho, Eswatini, among other countries. And maybe just to add on to this list, I think DRC, I'm sure DRC have also accepted that deal. But Zimbabwe has walked away from $367 million US health deal. And their concern is that they are not able to give their health data to the US. They are not able to give their health data. And also, looking at the health deal, you must be able to understand that it's an open secret. If you read, you'll be able to see that countries, they sign this deal, but there is always an open, not strings attached, because in most cases, strings attached is always hidden, but there is always an open, very clear to say, giving you this pack, like what happened in DRC. say, no, we're giving you this amount of money to revamp, to boost your health system. But you also give us access to critical minerals. You must give us access to critical minerals, which from the American point of view is actually not wrong from their point of view, because pursuing your own interest, using the leverage that we have, is part of diplomacy. But it's really what Africa needs right now. They at one point they say, no, we are not going to be able to do that. I don't know what happened. Now they have accepted. But Zimbabwe, it seems like they have seen it coming and they are saying, no, have your $367 million, then we are not going to do that. It's not going to happen. And you look at the leadership of ED, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and his team. So he has been there for a very long time in global diplomacy. But what would happen moving forward? Where are you going to get the money? Where are you going to get what is the alternative? Because it's one thing to get out of the deal. It's the other thing also to find a way to compromise. And it's also the other thing to look at your people. Because this is a world of interest now. You must be able to have an alternative. Where are you going to get those deals? Are you going east? Are you going north? Or are you going west? And remember, that is what is happening now in the world. There is nothing for free. There is nothing for free. Even the aspect of getting aid is a win-win situation. If you listen properly at global diplomats, either from east or west or north, I'll be able to tell you that it's a win-win. You are our trading partner. And everybody is saying Africa is our trading partner. And we must be able to work together. So, while we are there, again, some of the developments in Zimbabwe. It's like Zimbabwe is taking another route, particularly protecting its minerals. It was stated that Zimbabwe banned all raw material export with immediate effect. Zimbabwe said, no, we are not going to export raw materials anymore. Zimbabwe has imposed immediate freeze on export of all raw minerals and lithium concentrate. The mines ministry announced on Wednesday, tightening state control over resources critical to global clean energy and defense industries. Government expect cooperation of the ministry industry on this measure, which has been taken in the national interest. That is Polite Kambamura through the statement. And Zimbabwe say we are not going to sell raw materials anymore. Because I think they are taking drastic steps. It's a good step as long as you have an alternative, because African states have been depending so much on raw materials, and we even forget that we can be able to add value. That's why we are discussing about that now. And ask yourself this question to say, how come a country that has been in sanction for 20 years, still in sanctions for 20 years, even its own continental bank, and you must know that even African Development Bank was not able to give Zimbabwe loan. They struggle on their own. They have struggled on their own, and they got assistance here and there. But their economy is recovering every day. It's recovering every day. They may have been challenges, but Zimbabwe is not how it was in 2010. And you must be able to agree with me. Even the movement of people leaving their country is now decreasing. Go and look at the data. Even when you look around yourself, it's not how it has been. Because there are around 20 million Zimbabweans in South Africa. As it has been stated. And also all over the world. And those, majority of them, they moved out, particularly during economic crisis, sanctions that was caused by the action of early 2000s. And you must be able to see that. And what is also interesting in that aspect, one analyst indicated that when the economy collapsed in Zimbabwe, the first people to move are the academics. The educated one, because they have means, they pack their family with their families, go to UK, go to America, go to China, start working there. Then, as we have to follow suit, either it's through, we cross borders, come to Namibia, go to Angola, Mozambique, go through the river, or maybe you sink weak border spots. And looking where they are now, it's like Mr. Mnangagwa saying no, we are not going to sell raw materials anymore. Because, you know, that is what has been stated. So, let us look at a short commercial break, then we look at the conversation for today. However, you are free to communicate with us. You are free to give your contribution at 083-288-401-083, so that you can hear your view, give your constructive criticism, ask your question, and also find an alternative, particularly when it coming to development. And today, the discussion for today, we are going to speak about policy coherence. Do we have consistency in terms of policy? Do we have institutions that are talking to each other? Do we have departments within the same ministry that are talking to each other, within the same municipality that are talking to each other? And what is the long-term impact of policy inconsistency, policy incoherence to the Namibian people? And also, how is this going to impact ordinary people, particularly ordinary people on the ground? And we are at a time where the world is going through changes, either in terms of global alliance and the change and the challenge. And this is also the year of the challenge of institutions such as United Nations and also all other programs. And we must be able to admit that United Nations without USA has been really, it's not really the same, because looking at the fundings of all the programs, there is a lot of cutting in terms of fundings, and we must be able to find a way on how to navigate through this. To say, are we going for a board of peace? Are we maintaining? Are we restraining? Or we are also finding a way to look at internal, what can we do within ourselves? And looking at really, at the countries that are part of board of peace, you'll be able to realize it's not an encounter UN, but it's also a counter global south, if you look into that. So let's look at top score and move forward.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opa unengo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe danamibia oshipu nengono lando kashako ko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shiche, ndeto SMS o shicha instant. Totumu kombali o neveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli, otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija, mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano. E mangono malandula fanu, odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, it's 49 minutes past the hour of... 48 minutes past the hour of 6, and we are moving in early morning scoop. And today, like I indicated, we'll be speaking about the long-term impact of policy incoherence, what we have been speaking about, what it has been spoken about, what it has been written about Namibia, and also what Namibia wrote about herself. And also what we see happening on the ground, and also to ask questions to say, when are we going to find a way to deal with our own problems, not only in terms of speaking, not only in terms of presentation, but also in terms of practical implementation of right policies that are assisting us, because we only have, every Namibian will be able to agree with me that priorities, national priorities, economic growth, domestic economic expansion, creation of employment, and also long-term development, sustainability of development. And that has been very clear since 1990. But one of the things that has been stated, and it's not me who is saying this, and I want you to read it yourself, you take time and you look at, for example, at not one report, not two, but just three of them, especially that speak about Namibia. There is something that we have always been referencing, and just to also to look at that, because it's a latest, it's 2025 report of OECD, together with APRM, Assessment of Policy Coherence for Acceleration, Sustainable Development, and Agenda 2063 in Africa. And you look at that report, you'll be able to see that there are studies of African countries to say, in terms of coherence, is Namibia, is South Africa, is Kenya, is Ghana, are these countries in line where Africa is going? If they are in line where Africa is going, How are they able to implement the African Agenda 2063 within their policies and within their institutions? And the interesting thing about African Agenda 2063 is reflecting in all the policies that the country is doing, because it's speaking about Africa being globally competitive economically, but at the same time, you need to make sure that countries at home, I mean domestic economies, are competitive continentally, so that it can be done at a bigger scale. Then cruise through. You can skip South Africa, you can read South Africa if you want, you can read Kenya if you want, but just look at Namibia. Then you look at the recommendations there. You look at the challenges, then you look at the recommendations there that the country has. And you'll be able also to realize that we did not yet move, especially when we speak, especially when we say we want to change, we did not yet move. And that of which was presented may be still yet to be addressed within this year, or maybe still going to be able to reflect moving forward. And before that, or after that actually, you can be able also to look at what we spoke about yesterday. You look at the focus report of 2025 on Namibia. That is by African Development Bank. Then you look at the challenges. You look at policy recommendations too. Then you realize that all and above, one of the things which stood out there is policy incoherence. It's policy incoherence, and it's also coordinations of institutions. We have tried that, but we are still struggling. Maybe we'll find a way. Maybe we'll be able to find a way on coordinating institutions, because they are still colliding, they are still fighting, and they are also still not talking to each other, although we want the same thing. And apart from that report, then you can also look at one which is going to be attached to the main conversation for today, especially the report of Bank of Namibia on diagnostic of informality in Namibia. When you look at that report, then you also be able to see the recommendation. You also be able to see the challenges, because there have been a sectoral analysis to say what is really the problem with Namibia and informal sector. And what can be done? What has been identified there? Then the study which was done also there is also speaking the same thing to say, is policy incoherence and also lack of coordination. Now, coming to the discussion for today, what happened when you have people within the one institution, within an organization, but they are not communicating with each other? There is a vision, but what is represented outside is not the same. Because not only what I have seen yesterday I was able to, we went into the field and we went to the city where we were able to see vendors and city police hand in hand. And I do not have a problem with city police at all. Particularly the ground men and women in the uniform, they did a lot of great things, and I'm very happy about what they've done, particularly in digitalizing the city. But looking at what have happened now in terms of, the reactions, the enforcement, the movement of the vendors, and also the directive given, then you'll be able to see that there is a bit of a challenge. It's not about those who are on the ground. It's also about those who are in the office. And this is being presented to us. It's a reflection that we see outside, because if you have a document which is written by the city, for example, addressing these vendors, I'm not supporting any other person not following any law. But it must be very clear that the law must speak. The law must well communicate it, and they must not contradict the same institution that you know, that sent or that is applying that law. Because there's a document that came from the economic department. It's a document that came from, you know, manager for economic development, acting manager, that sent to these vendors last year. Then one of the things that they should quote there is that these guys are permitted to be there until the point that they are permitted to be at that area with the numbers, with the earth number given that area, until to the point that their place are found. Or the place of trading is found. And it's a brilliant thing to say, we have a plan for the city. You stay here. We monitor you. But we will be able also to find places for you. That is the communication. Then after all of the sudden, say, no guys, pack your things and go. Go away. Did you find what you said? No, just go. And somebody say, no. If they are fighting you, tell them to come to me. How can you tell somebody to come to you if somebody is within your own institution? But what this is telling us is not only about the vendors, it's about everybody. It's also saying a lot about our policies. Because when last year we went to Bank of Namibia, when this diagnostic of informality sectoral analysis report was presented, you know, it was a brilliant presentation. Even the UNRC was there. And to say Namibia informal sector is a real economy, and we must find a way to deal with them, and we must accommodate them across all the sector, and these men and women must be respected. And if you listen to this speech, you were okay, just hold on, then we...
What's not to love about USAVE's special end of February combo? For just 589 Namibian dollars, you can get 10 kilogram bags of each of the following essential foods: Champion Super Maize Meal, Nice Rice Parboiled Rice, Bokomo Fed Cooked Flour, and Marathon Brown or White Sugar. That's just 589 Namibian dollars for four 10 kilogram bags of essential products. Yes, we all save at USAVE.
Yeah, and the question is who should do that job, who should implement that which is identified, who can be able to solve that problem. And it's not only happening there. And one of the problems that we have, and let's hope that within this year a lot of bills are going to be passed. There have been a problem with PEGA Act, Public Enterprise Governance Act of 2019. That is an act which guide the operation of state-owned enterprises. And if you go back a little, you'll be able to realize that at one point we had the Minister of Public Enterprise, I think it was Mr. Yusta. Arion Yusta, I don't know where he is now. And the enterprise came to finance, but there has been a lot of challenges. I remember there was a point where cabinet is saying one thing, the board is saying one thing, and there was an aspect, particularly from last year, to say, no, we need to review and revise this so that we can have a good guiding document. Let's hope it's coming. Let's hope it's going to be is finalized, and let's hope Namibian's institution will be governed, because without that, without PEGA Act not speaking clearly about the functions and responsibilities of everyone and what institutions should do, the fight at SOEs, the underperformance of SOEs. The SOEs not giving their financial statement. The SOEs not giving their strategic, their strategic plan. It's going to continue. It's going to continue. Because, and also the aspect of, unaccountability. The aspect of unaccountability. How many of them are not able to, are not able also to present what has been stated in PEGA Act? And the list can go on to say, if you do not have a well-defined policy, those who are clever can be able to interpret them in their own way. And those who are enforcing, they will enforce the law blindly, because enforcing the law correctly, the right law correctly, if that is not speaking to the needs of the people, it's still a wrong thing. You know that something can be legally correct, but it's still wrong in the face of the society. You can't stand there. You can say somebody have done well in terms of following that law, but that law is still, when it's legal, does not mean that it's right at all. In some cases, and also does not mean that it's right in front of the society. That's why you always have changes in terms of those laws. You always have changes in terms of those policies. That's why coherence has been stated. It's not only in terms of policies and laws. Coherence also in terms of institution to say departments, agencies within a certain ministry must speak to each other so that when you come to the public, you are not presenting different ideas. That's why that of who is at the receiving end is the one who is confused. Is the one who is confused. And it's also very important also to maybe moving forward to understand that once you are in an institution, try to understand the whole structure of the institution rather than just know I'm doing my job, this is my job description. Because it also able to you to assist when there is a conflict of, of policy. So let us look at a short commercial break. Then I'll take you a little back to last year, particularly when problems are presented and also the intention of changing the status quo.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
staff. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my candidature manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Lipuranenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngejepa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamoyiri nawa ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Yeah, I want you to listen to this speech from last year, 3 months ago, and also to compare to what is happening on the ground, and also to see that we are still far from implementing, and also maybe we are also not communicating beyond the offices to say this is what needs to be done. And also to put in mind to say, it's also the responsibility of the citizens, and we are not saying those who are at the informal sector or those who are at the receiving end should be ignorant. And they should not only just also play the victims, they must also get the right and clear information too. Because we'll be able to assist each other if we are all willing to assist each other. Because as we have been speaking to say, the informal sector is the one which is holding the economy, is the one which employed a lot of people in Namibia, or is the one which is assisting the government in terms of GDP contribution. We are not saying they should be ignorant. We are also not saying they should be reckless, or they should not obey the laws, because if they also continue to play victims, not adhering to or not communicating properly, or not be at the center of receiving information or attending important sessions, then it's not going to work, because we need each other instead of chasing each other in the city, chasing each other in the outskirts, and all those things. But once we have coherence, then we can move. Now, I like this speech because I'm always comparing it with the future. I like this speech because I'm always comparing it with the future. It's from the BON chief currently, and this was last year, especially at the launch of the diagnostic of informality. A diagnostic is I think from the medical point of view, is you are identifying a disease or you're identifying a problem to say, now we have found the problem. Now we have found the problem. Now we are going to have solutions. All the institutions are there. The informal sectors were there. The officials were there. The head of institutions were there. And they sit on the table to say, no, now we are solving the problem. We have identified that one of the reasons that we are always chasing each other in the city or at the outskirts or wherever, why we are always not respecting, is because of this. But this is what we need to do moving forward, particularly in terms of clarity of information and in terms of, reviewing at our policy to say, we are sorry, these policies have been putting you down, or you have been wrong, or this is how we are going to operate from this point of view. And listen to this, and you can also have your own interpretation that you'll be able to contribute, because we have different point of analysis. We have different views when you look at perspectives. So that's why we are here to educate one another. We are here also to find a way on getting our country forward, because we may have different approach to things. But context should remain, especially if you want to find what needs to be done, especially in terms of not only growing our economy, but sustainable economic growth beyond, the surface. And there's also one thing which is very clear. When we are speaking about opportunities, what are we really speaking about? Are we speaking about the 2 weeks opportunity? Are we speaking about 1 month opportunity? And to what extent? Just to put that in mind, particularly when you are listening to this this brilliant speech.
The executive directors, deputy executive directors who are present here, distinguished guests, esteemed colleagues, dedicated development partners, members of the media, fellow Namibians, a very good morning to all of you. It is my distinct honor to welcome you today as we mark this very important moment in our nation development journey. The official launch of the diagnostic report on informality in Namibia. Your presence here clearly is a very clear testimony of a shared commitment to building a more inclusive and prosperous future for all Namibians. Today is more than the launch of a report. It is the culmination of a very collaborative journey that began in 2023. It was when that we convened a diverse group of stakeholders from government and regulatory bodies to our development partners and those also in academia, and most importantly, the representative from the informal economy itself. That initial gathering ignited a sense of shared purpose and agency. It compelled all of us to move beyond assumptions and truly understand the landscape of informality in our country. We are glad to know that 2 years later, we stand here armed with more than just an intuition. We have a very comprehensive and evidence-based account of the scale, character.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
The Ellie Birds.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. I want you to continue listening to that speech. It's a speech for the chief of BON, but that time was last year, especially when he was a deputy head. I was deputy governor, actually. And in that context, through that communication, you'll be able to learn that Namibia said that they found the solutions to these things of chasing each other, police and vendors. And they've diagnosed the problem, and it was a way of championing moving forward. Let's continue listening.
And human stories that define Namibia's informal economy. Clearly, this report gives voice to the aspiration and challenges of individuals in our open markets, in our agricultural corridors, in our home-based businesses, and in informal settlements. It reminds us that for a majority of all Namibians, the informality is the economy. It's not just something peripheral. The informal economy is the economy. You will really see it from the data that are going to be presented. When we are talking about employment in this country, 57.7%, these people are employed in the informality, in the informal economy. So how can you really disregard something that create that level of employment? As policymakers and leaders of institutions entrusted with our nation economic stewardship, this report presents us with a profound responsibility. The data within these pages is not merely informational. It is also directional. It is a roadmap for our intervention. It illuminates the path towards more effective financial services, thoughtfully designed products, and targeted infrastructure development. It provides a mirror reflecting our economic reality that we are facing today and a mandate to act decisively. We can no longer afford to plan in the dark. This report is our guide to building systems that empower and include those who have long been on the economic periphery. The informal economy is a testament to the resilience and entrepreneurial spirit of the Namibian people. It is an engine of value creation, a source of livelihood, and a pillar of our communities. Yet, it operates largely without the safety nets, without protections, and opportunities that many of us take it for granted. The critical question before us now, will this report be a document that gathers dust on a shelf, or will it be the catalyst for transformative change? The answer to that question lies with each one of us. It calls for a united front from government, financial institutions, to our local authorities, the civil society, and the private sector at large. The road ahead demands bold policy reforms. It demands innovations in financial inclusion and a legal framework that recognizes and protects all workers. Above all, it requires a deep and abiding respect for the individuals whose hard work and perseverance form the backbone of our economy. As Her Excellency, our President, the Tumbo Nandi Daitwa, reminded us recently, the persistent socioeconomic challenges facing our country, particularly the triple threat of unemployment, poverty, and inequality, remain our greatest test since independence. Clearly, her words are a powerful call to action, underscoring why our response to informality must be very deliberate, it must be inclusive, and it must be transformative. As I'm concluding, let us therefore honor the immense effort that has gone into this study by translating its findings into tangible actions. I call upon every institution represented here today to internalize these insights that are coming from this study, to identify your role, and to take ownership of this shared mission that has been defined. Let us ensure that when we next gather, it is not to launch another report like this, but to celebrate the measurable improvements in the lives of the ordinary Namibians. Let this report mark not the end of the project, but the beginning of the national renewal for our economy, and to make sure that the informal economy get the attention in terms of policy intervention, in terms of regulatory framework that it deserves than it currently now gets. On this note, I thank you.
Yeah, that was last year. Those are some of the brilliant words. And also to say this report should not gather dust. It was a question to local authorities, to those who are in charge of planning reforms, and also policymakers, to say let us respect those who are contributing positively or significantly to the economy. And the question that you should ask yourself when you listen to this communique and what you see on the ground, where is the connection? When you listen to this and what you see on the ground, where is the connections? Because that is, and there's an indication to say next time when we are going to gather, maybe it's this year we are going to celebrate, but the records are still there. And 3 months after that, and it's not the responsibility of BON, you must get me very correctly, it's not the responsibility of BON, it's the responsibility of everybody out there who is either is local authority, as it was stated, either is financial institutions, to say the situation on the ground is not conducive. Towns will continue to increase. Urbanization is the order of the day. And the population of Windhoek is growing over 3% every year. And statistics are saying we are closer to 500,000. I mean, some are saying we are already there. But the reality of the matter is that what are we doing about that long term? Because people will not go away. They will still be there. By the way, is that is our planning less, is our planning behind than the numbers of people? And what can we do moving forward? Because there is always an aspect of stakeholders engagement, and I attended two of the stakeholders engagement within the, within City of Windhoek. And this is not just for City of Windhoek, it's for any other, local authority. And your number one stakeholder was supposed to be those who are at the center of your economy. Your number one stakeholders were supposed to be representative from the informal market. And they were supposed to be given time and priority. And when you are doing your planning, they were supposed to be there. But what we say and what we see is completely different. But yeah, let us look at the caller. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Shombe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, the same report you brought, eh?
Yeah, I brought that. Yeah.
Repetitive means something is very, very important.
No, it's very important because it's in line with what we see these days.
Yeah, you just mentioned that people to go away. To go away, where?
That is the question.
See, See, that is the problem. You know, we have really fought for those people informally, especially.
No, we are still fighting for them in the boardroom.
Yeah, but in the boardroom, sometimes if you go out of the boardroom, the fights can be more well intensified and resolve some kind of problems. But if you are just in the boardroom and we know already what is happening there. So even the police intervention and that everyone, it's a role for each and everybody. Last time we were saying police intervention and all the stakeholders have got a stake in that. So now if you all then come in, especially from the police, the reason why you said you have seen those people being harassed, being chased away, I don't know whether there's a law that is contradictory, and if they know that 57.7% are employed in the informal economy, wheat in agriculture or wherever. So, and we are failing to repeal or amend the bylaw, municipal bylaw that prevents or actually prevent people to sell in that sector. It doesn't matter whether the place is clean or whatever. If you now bring hygienic principles, no problem. People can adhere to that. But to me, I see there's some kind of influence from the multinational company, from those big companies.
How?
I don't know whether it's the competition that they are afraid of or what is it. And these people cannot compete with Soprite, for example. If they are there somewhere in front of Soprite, not in front of Soprite, just somewhere there. And there's no, they are not betting the place, and they are just selling like that. Somebody come and pick. So what prevents you to harmonize that registration, that piece of registration to benefit these people?
Yeah, because
what is the fear?
Yeah, I think it's you know, it's also lack of coordination, because there is a document, unless somebody prove me wrong otherwise there is a document here, and that document is indicating to say there is actually authorization, and people they are given authority by there is a communication from the acting manager for economic development. And they were given authorization, and within that letter, the letter stated that you are staying here until the point where we find a place for you, and we continue. And they have continued being monitored. And mind you, that was a communication. But after that, just few months, then guys, pack your things and go. Okay, what about the plan that you communicated to us? Nothing.
So, you see, now, even if you know, to find a place, it has been a problem, because sometimes you designate their marketplace somewhere very far, where the people from the government park or wherever nearby there, they won't reach. You understand? So, you know, you see, you take people, put people where they are accessible. Their goods are accessing the market. If you push them, I know maybe it doesn't happen anyway. I don't know which area they are planning to relocate them. But what I know is that even despite that communication, is there somebody who's now trying to if there's a communication, there's another person coming there. So is this a deliberate effort to frustrate the people, or just what is it? You understand?
I'm still finding out. But let's go beyond that, because it's what we are saying and what we are doing is the same thing. It's not it's coherence of policies. It's the same thing with when we speak strongly about something, especially when we spoke strongly about monitoring and evaluation, then we go back and do what we've been doing for the past 26 years or 36 years.
Yes, those are a contradiction and also not being serious. But what we are saying is that if there is that, because the policy that they are using now, the law that they are using, is the one that is outdated in the English. The bylaw, I think 1957, if I'm not mistaken. And that is the one that they are using. So that communication now, that yes, they put, and until a viable place is found for you, and they have, maybe was it communicated to the policing staff, the police officers, and those municipal police officers?
You know what is interesting? What is interesting is that when these guys, they go to the economic department, is saying, no, if the police come and chase you, tell them to come to us. Are you guys not in the same, are you not in the same institution?
Me, I've witnessed those things. That's why there was, I witnessed the harassment, they have things being taken away. That's why there was a time I decided I got him. So, I just got him.
You an activist?
So when I got in, and those people actually, you know, some of them, they were given tickets of 5,000, up to 3,000-4,000 there. And we need to have to strongly convince, and then that strong conviction. And then so until the point where they have to gather all their tickets. Some I have to make copies. Some of them I give them, go and make copies. So that we can have a pile, and then we attended. And then they were sorted out. There were institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So now, in this case, so be it activist or lay person or whatever the case might be, it doesn't really augur well, because these are women, and if you take a woman now with the children around 5-6 there, and then you now see their things, and you also put her in Okambaba, what time we say able to get to Havana or Koryakab, and the children from school, they are still there waiting for the mother to bring bread and the tomatoes. So these are some of the things, the intervention, the police intervention that we are told, police intervention, where is it coming from? Is it not from us and from the institution that are concerned? Or is it going to come from where?
I say
the coordination that you are talking about.
It's a good, it's
so
a good,
the police there, if you say they tell them to come to us, why can't you gather them and tell them that, yes, this is the directive? So when you see these people are in the street there or wherever, interact them with them in a human way. So
I think sometimes, even when you are given instruction, when you are given a command to do something, I think even things that you are not happy with, because enforcement is not working like any other institution. Because if you look carefully, even themselves, they use that service too.
Of course.
Yeah, we understand. But I think the main important thing is not about the enforcer. It's not about me, the implementer. Sometimes it's there at the top there to say, what is the direction from the top? You have, we have a youngest deputy mayor. I don't know about the mayor, with deputy mayor, very young. And it's not only her who understand this, but the question is that, what is the direction from the top, especially in planning for the city? We are not saying people should stay anywhere, should stay in front of people's businesses. There must be a way on dealing with that situation before the population continue increasing. If that is not done, the chasing is not ending. The chasing is not ending.
What is the representative of the one who also spoke on the same platform where the governor of Bank of Namibia spoke? So, she says she's representing those people.
Yeah.
Now, what is her voice? What is her take on how people are being pushed and harassed and things like that?
No,
that can't facilitate.
It's a very good question. Now, let's Can we pack that and look at what happened today with the finance? Did we speak about
the one for what is happening in America? There's a crisis there. There's constitutional crisis.
Crisis are everywhere.
But this one, I think it's more serious now. Maybe the President Trump might not have expected it. But the way I'm seeing it and following the trend, it seems to be very chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Might be very chaotic.
I think we need to look into that, especially.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. It's 36 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and packing that conversation. And also look at the new leadership, not only of the city of Windhoek, but across, the local authority, is to say what will happen moving forward, especially when you have direct products of the informal sector. You have a son and a daughter of a kapana seller who ended up becoming a director, CEO, a town planner, but in the planning of the economy of that town, he's forgetting about where the bread was coming from when the person was young, and it's really unfortunate. And maybe it's now the time to look into that and really assess, to say yes, what need to be done so that we can coexist. Because one thing is that the interesting thing about human beings, they find a way, they make a plan. We must coexist. We must have a societal, coexistence. Arrangement must be done, and humanity and dignity must also prevail. And I think one of the things that happened in the past, six years, is that the tendency of destruction of informal structure, I think, have stopped a little bit. But those years, just say remove your shacks, otherwise you take a bulldozer to come. But those are some of the development that you want to see, that let us communicate, colleagues. Because human beings, they can communicate. And the communication must be very clear of what needs to be done. But yeah, let's pack that conversation. Let's look at today. What will happen today? We are waiting for the budget. We are waiting for the budget. And I'm still not praising, but also thanking, to say prioritization of developmental program is one of the things that has been done well and should be sustainable and consistent, particularly when you see and you're asking yourself to say what has been really happening. Because at the time that we did not have crisis as we have now, that those aspects of that we see, I'm always happy to see graduate developmental programs across the board. Either it's private sector, either it's government, and let us hope also that the finance will also expand into that. And let us also see what are the tools of analysis to evaluate what have happened with the finance, and also accountability also. Because if you distribute, give money to grow the economy with clear intention, what happened to those who were given money? And I think it's my hope also to say, in the time of where the economy is not growing, what will happen to the private sector that was supposed to grow the economy? Is the ministry also subsidizing? It's also giving prioritization to smaller businesses too, so that they can expand, so that they can be able to compete. And this is going to be maybe one of the most debated budget in Namibia, especially when it comes to during this time of difficulties, not only in Namibia, not only in the continent, but also a time of difficulty globally. And let us see what will happen, what is new. Because what we should look at is that it's not about numbers. It's not about intentions. But it's also about the results and what is a differentiating factor. What is the differentiating factor? Because it's what is different that people are interested in. To say, where is the finance into? What is new about the budget? And also, those aspects. There's a lot of prediction, but those are things that are expected, particularly today. And Minister Shafuda has been very quiet these days, and we understand she is very busy. But let's see what she has for us today. Let us all watch and listen and understand where the money is going. So it's important to understand where the money is coming from, where it's going, what happened. And also let us not, and following up, I think, also keep the government on there too. Especially if you look at what has been prioritized before, what is prioritized. Those who are in the creative sector, ask your questions to say, what happened to the creative sector? What about the money that was distributed? How was it used? Sport facility, we see now facilities groundbreaking are starting. Go and ask that question. What happened to the stadiums? What is the process? How much was presented? How much is lacking? What is the progress? Because if there is reports on progress, those are things that are needed. I like, there was a minister of finance in South Africa, Tito Boeni. Very brilliant, and he was able to present within each sector, within each sector, how finance was given. And look at that economy of South Africa. And look at distribution of trillions of dollars. And he understood it very well. And he left a very important, legacy within the financial sector of South Africa. That is why it could be the reason the South African economy is improving regardless of crisis in the world.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Morning.
Hey, good morning, Joseph.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine.
Hmm.
Yes, we've been listening.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem. You see, if you see me, I'm also the caller, the caller of this regulation, and now it's maybe one year is not been calling in.
Okay.
Yeah, because we lose the frequency. Up there, I'm saying. When I heard what you said, what they said there, always, if you go back to our podcast today, you see where we are also discussing that the Namibian system is not talking to us.
Speak up a little bit.
The system is not talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since the long time, they've been screaming about that.
But wait,
I don't know where the office is. Even here, I'm here at the office.
Hmm.
Yeah, because I'm doing informal. When I visited my economic department, or municipal economic department, but they said, no, we are not doing that. But what you tell us, no, maybe somewhere, not here.
Hmm.
I said, the whole country, these things for the whole country. No, maybe it's where you hate it. Okay, no. You see, I don't know what is really problem. Our economy is not growing. Then they also they were promised, and even the head way many people are impressed. But they are not being considered that. You don't worry about that. Now our economy, the something is very quiet. But this is still continuing. What they want also to destroy the that sector.
How can you destroy your main employer?
Yeah. On the other side, somebody said they are saying that the other side they are destroying. I don't know.
But maybe what do you think is the problem? Are they not talking to each other, because the bank is saying this and they have admitted that they have found a problem. The question is, what is new? What are they going to do new? Because even people within the same municipality, they are not talking. You are just within your department. How can you tell a vendor that if the police come to you, tell them to come talk to me if you are in the same building?
That's the problem. I don't know.
Why can't you sort that issue from where you are to say, guys, what are you doing there?
Yeah, you are just go to the other door. What they are doing to us is what in the same duty.
Yeah.
You are missing what is happening to the other room. I don't know. That is the problem we have in this country.
But what really happened? Because when you have somebody who is a leader, and that person was, and most of these guys either from town planners is from, most of these guys they are from the informal economy. What what I observe is that even those who are enforcing the laws are not, they are not happy really. They are just following instructions. What really happened? Why do we end up in this situation?
Where I see maybe say there is no connection. Maybe it's the where is the instructor of the police force or what? Maybe some of that sector where they are also sending people to go and chase people. That room. Maybe it was, they were not listening, or they never even read the newspapers. Or they are the one with the commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they, yeah. Therefore, I said always. You see, if you see Bipa. Bipa is writing every day, writing businesses, putting in new businesses.
There's
no place where to sell. And then the municipality said, no, we don't have place for these people. No matter they are writing by Bipa, these people, they must be in one office. They must not in one building and these people. They must just build the same hall. Only just maybe people speaking, then everybody should understand. People to hear from each other. Because we don't know where is the problem now.
No,
yeah, the same thing, maybe in different rooms.
I think you are correct. And there is also and what I'm scared of is that if this can happen at the smaller sector. And it's not only within the informal sector. What has been stated, even continentally, to say Namibia has all the resources, Namibia has potential, but the problem is that institutions are not talking to each other.
Yeah, Namibia has the resources, but it's not reflecting to the.
Yeah, institutions are not talking to each other to say. Have you ever found yourself where you are interacting two ministries, but it's like you are interacting one ministry? You are sent to say, no, go to that one and come back here.
That's what we are always here. Go there, what, go, who, where, to this, what, so on, like that. It's like that. Things are like not even spoken. I don't know. Why we are just things repeating itself? The history is written to avoid that things could not repeat itself.
But I think there is still something that maybe we are not getting to say, and if you listen really to like what the current Bank of Namibia governor stated last year when he was a deputy governor, spoke about this to say, guys, there is no two types of the economy, you must find a way. And when he was speaking, it's not only about finance, guys, everybody was there. Then the question is that what do we do when we go home? When you discuss about the problem, or we just go and sit down and you continue with business as usual.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because now even the new president, they came into power, they move the EDs from that one, then maybe it's causing the problem again. Because of the ED now, they are changing the way they were working before.
Okay, you said you are in informal economy too, ne?
Yes.
What do you expect from today's budget? Because Meme Shafuda is going to present the budget, and what are your expectations? What do you think need to be done, especially for those who are in the informal sector?
We are looking into that way where they said this should be inclusive. We must be inclusive in that budget.
Mm-hmm.
We must be included. Get something from that budget also as a informal.
Do you know that there is a financial sector transformation strategy which is stating that in 2035, even if you don't have a registered business, you can be able to get a loan from a bank. No, there is something like that which is presented, and you'll be able to get the loan from a bank. That is by 2035. There is a strategy on that, but my question is that how is the engagement so far, especially from those who are in the informal sector, with the real financial institutions? So that is what we expect. Now, apart from that, you said you're in Walvis Bay, right? Yeah, in terms of infrastructure, is it different? Is it okay? Are you guys accommodated well? How about infrastructure to accommodate those who are doing informal businesses?
No, it's not conducive. Yeah, it's not conducive. For what this informal sector still. Then we will always saying that it must be provided a conducive environment that is small and what you want to be easy to start or to do business. But still, if that.
But there's a new governor, she looks very active there. Maybe when you engage, you'll be able to see what will happen, but you must not stop pushing, because you guys are the one who are holding the economy. Because if the mine contribute to, if the mine employ 2%, and if my economy employ 57%, you will see that the informal economy is still the real economy. You should continue pushing, and it's a very good thing that you called. Who am I speaking to?
Sorry, you're speaking to Mr. Elias.
Okay, so thank you for input, eh?
Okay, fine.
All right. Yes, that is Riasa from Walvis Bay speaking about the same situation, especially when it comes to the informal sector. And we are saying those are the guys who are running the economy, because disrupt one, then the whole thing is just going to collapse. If one, and I'm always giving this example to say, that lady that you see across the road selling maize or selling food or selling any ingredients, when she is not feeling well that day, it will be a little shock to the economic or to the financial situation within that. It may look small, but those guys who are building infrastructure, most of them, they depend on these people that are selling food. And if that one woman that sell at that corner of the street is not there, do you know that it's also going to interrupt the structure of the institution that is being built there? And imagine if she's not feeling well, or she's stressed, and just decided not to come to work, and the taxi driver is also not feeling well. Just two people within that circle, then you see the impact that will have. And I imagine how it's going to affect the whole situation to say, no, the builder did not eat, because that who sell food is not there. The taxi driver that was supposed to bring them is also not in the good mood. How do you expect the infrastructure to be built? Because even strong corporate, the boardrooms that you are sitting in, those who build this are the guys who are coming from the informal sector. They are fed first before they come. They are transported first before they come. And by the time you understand this, you'll be able to realize that who you are chasing. Even ask yourself this question. You are coming to chase people, but the people that build the headquarter where you are coming from, who do you think, who was feeding them? Do you think they were, where were they getting some of this assistance? But I think it's a wake up call too, especially in 2026, to not only understand, but really to assist. Because some people just need the space. Some people just need security. Some people just need infrastructure, then they can operate on their own. And I've seen, because interacting with these people, you realize to say, some of these guys have qualification actually, and they are really brilliant, but they just want the security. They should not do what they want. That is not what we are saying. But at least they must be respected. Yes, good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yes, how are you?
I'm alright, man. Sorry to get it to the radio so late. No. I was trying to call early.
Don't worry, my brother. How are things going?
The morning is okay.
Okay, what is your view?
Yeah, I just want to add also something when it comes to these street vendors.
Yeah.
My friend, I think our law in Namibia is really addressing us to the way we are, poor. Especially when it comes to municipality by law, they are using this apartheid law, which still really, really colonizing our people. Because remember one thing, that we are all, a lot of us, we are having this disadvantaged background. All of us, only those one who go to, get opportunity. But they're supposed to turn around the opportunity now for others to get the benefit also.
Indeed, indeed.
But, but the thing is that when you look at the Namibia law, when you are chasing the people who are just selling fake coats, selling porridge, selling vegetables.
Just hold on, hold on. Just stay on the line.
Get your glow on with ShopRite's hair and beauty range. Visit your nearest store and buy everything you need to nourish your skin, love your hair, and look your best. Keep on shining with deals like Darling Yucky Braids, all variants, any two for $24 Namibian, and 1 liter organics shampoo or conditioner, all variants, for only $79.99 each. Don't miss out on our great deals to get your glow on. Offers valid until 8 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Okay, continue.
Yeah. I think sometimes at this law, we just have to take the reunion for our own people benefit. Yeah, because you cannot tell me a person who is selling a pet cake is taking customer for the retailers. Not at all. And I remember one thing, that is the back follow with this, backing with those pet cake. Back from those retailers.
There are even customers, yeah.
Yeah, the poly duty is cooking, is buying from that. At the end of the day, this person is able to support his family, send his kid to school, able to buy bread. But now, when you test these people, where do you, if maybe you have a provision, where you say, no, I create this earlier for you guys, then you don't want to be there. It's understandable, but now you are testing them without when they are going to operate.
Now, how do we coexist? Because, you know, in this economy, everybody's trying to survive. You chase me, I'm coming from the other side. And because a person has to eat, how do we coexist? Because we end up injuring each other. But we must find a way. How do we coexist within a town, within a city, whether from we are different economic structure? How do we coexist? Because we are not saying they should do what they want, but at least coexistence.
There must be something. Yeah, you've seen it. What I learned from other countries, what they do, like even the countries which are developed, like UK, America, they have even like a Saturday, Sunday, where even your old cough, you can go and sell it in town to get rid of those. But in Namibia, there's nothing like that. They don't want anything, anybody from Mwambwari to China to be in town. To be in town. And that is a problem with their greeting. Even the other countries, what they do, like a grow mall, they're supposed to have, you know, this smaller SME, retailers, where people are selling in their Omango, Ombidi,
yeah.
Omongo now, like now Omongo.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, in the grow mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the tourists are even sometimes are interested in these things, taking pictures and so on. But we... Yeah. We put them behind the what the building.
Under the bridge.
Yeah, under the bridge even. Yeah. And then we call even if we know there are some who are trying even to sell, because now they, remember it's very contested. Some maybe the outside, we call police for them. Indeed. And what is happening there?
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for input.
All right. Okay, yeah, thank you, man. Because I know the time is over.
All right,
thank
all you. Right. Yeah, thank you for input, and let's give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day from me, David Shombe. Bye for now, and see you around.